The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Thursday, July 8th, and we are fresh off game one of the NBA Finals. We're talking about that. We're talking about whether or not free bread is tacky, Simone Biles' boyfriend, and vax that thing up. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And I'm Mike, a.k.a. Guardy B. Well, we just mentioned it, man. Game one of the finals. We're here. We made it. Thank God. We're one game closer to putting this season behind us.
I'm so ready. Y'all know I'm so ready. I'm so excited about it being over.
The Suns won game one, 118 to 105. Tyler, what were your thoughts from the game?
I'm glad that it looks like we're going to get a good series. It looks like Giannis is 100%. Like, that motherfucking knee looks superb out there. Like, he looked like regular Giannis. So, you know, I'm glad that we're going to get Giannis for the whole series, a healthy 100% Giannis for the whole series. And you know, the game one, it was one of those weird games where it's like Phoenix was in control of the game the whole time, but you never fully counted Milwaukee all the way out, right? Like, there was always a part of me watching it until late in the fourth. I was like, Milwaukee could still, you know, come back. There's still some fight in them. But, you know, it was a good game, even though, you know, Milwaukee was down by like double digits the whole fucking time. And I think it's a good sign that we're probably going to get a good series here. So. Thumbs up from me.
Thumbs up for the game.
Hey, thumbs up
from Tyler.
John, I think John, I know Tyler was thinking that the Bucks were going to come out with that game. You and I both thought it was going to be the Suns. What did you think of the game, and did it go basically how you thought it was going to go?
I mean, it went how I thought it was going to go. I didn't think Giannis looked 100% though. I thought Giannis looked great, being that I would have never played basketball again if my knee ever did that. So the fact that he was even playing proves that he's superhuman. You know what I mean? He had a solid game. He wasn't as aggressive as I thought Giannis would be. Maybe it's the knee. Maybe it's the situation. I don't know. But I mean, I think he had 13 points by the end of the third quarter. And he, you know, he's pressing a little bit when they start getting that ass whooped, but it wasn't enough. You know what I mean? I'm just really surprised. Like, for me, we talk about Chris Paul a lot, which, incredible game, big in the big moments, obviously. Booker had a great game, but fucking Ayton, bro. I just like 21 and 19 or some shit like that. Bro, it seems like he's dominated every series, but it seems like he gives us those numbers every fucking game. Like, this is becoming regular from the, you know, 20 and 20 game. That's how it feels. But I mean, dog, that dude, every rebound, just get away. That's his, you know what I mean? And he's shooting like, what, 80% from the field or something wild like that?
He had 22 and 19. He was 8 of 10 from the field. I was going to say a funny stat to track will be who ends up with more at the end of the series, Chris Paul turnovers or DeAndre Ayton missed field goals? Because they're both like one to three a game.
right. Like, it was – what, I don't know if we even really learned anything from this game one, which was interesting. I'm like, I don't, it can still go either way. I know it seemed like the Suns beat them by more than they actually did. You know what I mean? But I think we really
learned anything.
I think the
crowd and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And the fact that, you know, as Tyler pointed out, like they had that lead kind of throughout the game, but mm-hmm. I didn't feel at all like, oh, they're going to win in five or so. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Like, you can certainly see, because Giannis can certainly play better than he did.
We had like 22 and something.
He had 20 and I think 14 rebounds, four or five assists. But yeah, I mean, the Bucks could definitely play better than that. The Suns could play better than that.
But who's gonna play better?
Well, you know, Giannis has a pretty high
Giannis has a ceiling that will, yeah. But I mean, Middleton had a good game. You know what I mean? Drew kind of struggled a little bit, but Drew, you can't really rely on him to win games. You know, he's kind of streaky. I don't know. The Bucks didn't show me anything that made me think they're going to could win. But the Suns didn't show me anything to make me think they're gonna. It's not Suns in four. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel that way either. I didn't really gain anything from the game other than knowing who won game one. You feel me? Like,
I do feel I was thanking my lucky stars that Giannis looked so good, because it does feel like after everything that all basketball fans have gone through or put up with over this year, it's like at least we get Giannis versus Chris Paul, book whoever you want to put, you know what I mean? At least we do get that, because we talked about in the last show, I didn't think there was any way in fucking hell he was playing game one, you know, much it's less knee. He's got a chase down block and everything else. Like, like Tyler, what's in the knee, bro? Like, you know, like, how do you do that shit, bro?
Hey, well, they don't call him the Greek normal guy. They call him the Greek freak for a reason. So I don't know what the fuck type of ligaments he got, but goddamn, those motherfuckers are titanium or adamantium or some shit, bro. Because he looked like the Giannis of old.
They compared the block to LeBron. Did you see that?
He said they don't call him an average of nature.
Come on, bro. Come on, dog. Come on, bro. They put it right next to like bronze block. And I'm like, this is where we going with that. Like, this is what you need. You need engagement that bad. You know what I mean? Like, internet, bro. I don't know. Those social channels were weirding. But yeah, he looked solid. But to me, Giannis is just such an animal. Like, we were shitting on him for what, 22 and 14 when he was playing the Heat last year in a bubble. Like, we clowned him for those numbers. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a great game if you're not a Giannis. That's a great game if you're the Greek normal guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's a great game for that guy. That's right. Not a great game for the Greek freak. You feel me?
Like, if you're John Stamos or some shit.
Or John Nichols.
Shit, we need more out of Giannis Nichols for sure.
Right,
what do you think? We did I think it was announced just shortly before we started recording that Saric, I think anyone who watched the game, you could see non-contact injury on a jump stop. That is not usually hey, we'll see you tomorrow. What kind of an impact do you think that has on the series for, you know, him to be out and obviously remove some of that front court depth for the Suns?
I think you absolutely need the most bodies you can have to fucking collapse on Giannis when he's, you know, driving to the paint. So, but you know, I think Aiden's good enough to pick up the slack, man. I don't think there's any reason for the Suns to push the panic button there.
He said he's a good body to use, like against Giannis, like, he's in the water
throw out in front of the fucking natural disaster that is Giannis driving to the car. Right. Right.
He's a good.
They lost a good sandbag, you know?
Basically. You know what I mean? And I feel the exact same way, bro. Like, yeah, you know, I mean, he's not gonna make a huge difference. It would have been great to have that size, obviously, but you know, Aiton's. I don't know who he compare Aiden to at this point. You know, he's been playing crazy. So I think they'll be good.
I think you're exactly right that, you know, obviously Chris Paul is going to get, I think it's very clear at this point, he would have to really trip over his own self-punched dick to not be the dude that the narratives are kind of like dialed in on. But Aiden, it might be one of those ones in 10 years where we really looking back on this as the year that DeAndre Ayton sort of ascended to a completely different level, for sure.
People were clowning him. Like, he was a joke, especially in that draft. Like, you know, they picked DeAndre Ayton. You know what I mean? That motherfucker might have a chip before both of them other niggas we talking about that we love so much. You feel me? And not just get a chip, like, earn that motherfucker. Be a big part of that motherfucker. You feel me? So, I mean, I find myself watching him, like, even in, like, the pick and roll, he's solid defensively, he moves so well, you know what I mean? But like, I mean, it's if he puts a shot up, go play, you know, we gonna play defense. You get the ball in the post, it's a bucket. I mean, a lot of them shits is just catch dunks, but his footwork looked better, you know what I'm saying? His touch is solid, you know what I mean? The man, I mean, he's a bully, and he's enormous. He's enormous. Yes.
And he and Chris Paul together are absolutely fucking
Pico. Like, even Booker's throwing that lob really easily, like on some just up. Go play, I'm going to play D, you know what I mean? Because he's going to finish everything. If he can't go get it, nobody can. You feel me?
We when we had Langston Galloway on the pod on the last episode, we were talking to him just about how very obviously confident the Suns are that they're winning a championship this year. And I think they said during the broadcast, I think it was Chris Paul talking to Ayton, but he might have been talking to Jay Crowder, woke up today and just texted everyone and said, we're one day closer to winning a championship. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just clearly the way the entire team is thinking, is like, okay, it's game day. We got to win three games after today.
Like, and you can see, like, watching the Bucks, did it seem like they didn't want it as much? I'm not that type of, like, you know, you got to want it, you know, all this shit. But you do, motherfucker. You playing against a dog-ass team, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, they weren't as tenacious on defense. Their hands weren't moving as much. Everything was bothered when the Bucks had the ball. You know what I mean? They put their hands on everything.
Felt like the Bucks were playing a feel out game for sure.
Yeah.
To me. And that was why I was saying, I don't feel like it's like the Suns are going to run away with it or something. It definitely didn't feel like I'm much more interested to see what the Bucks do in game two. Cause it kind of seemed like they went into game one thinking they needed to win game two to get the split. You know?
Yeah. Chris Middleton too. He looked good, bro. I'm like, that motherfucker. No more jokes about that man no more either. Yeah, you
know what I mean? I'm going to miss the Middleton jokes.
But they gone, nigga. I get it. I'm going to miss them too. But we going to miss them because it's over with.
Yeah, that motherfucker.
That man
cold,
is a
boy.
Hooper, bro. You feel me? Some of those shots he hit, I'm like, damn. Like, had a doodle face like this. Chris Middleton, is that you? Clutching my motherfucking pearls, nigga. Shit. That shit was beautiful, nigga. Your game is looking beautiful, nigga. Sheesh. But anyway.
It has definitely been the postseason of Chris Middleton and DeAndre Ayton. And I'll just leave that there, like, for good and for bad. Like, that is what, like, we are going to remember from this playoffs for sure. I'm not taking anything away from either one of them.
Right.
You know, but it is like, everyone thought this was going to be LeBron versus KD in the finals. Right. Like, that is not what the way the shit played out, bro.
And we got a Giannis, like you said, a Greek freak on the court. And I'm looking at motherfucking Chris Middleton like, but did you see what Chris Middleton did?
Straight up.
I feel like a fucking dork. Nigga. I'm like, but DeAndre Ayton. Like, we're all becoming those guys. And it's, you know.
Right. Like, right. Like, wow, what a way Ayton rolled on that pick and roll. I just don't roll like that anymore.
Right, right. Like, look at the defensive. Look at his feet. Look at those active feet on the defensively. Like, bro,
look at,
like,
the number of top five perimeter players that Jay Crowder had in a torture chamber this postseason.
Right. Right. Bro, tenacious defense, moving hands everywhere. Like, dog, it's like we're becoming these niggas, dog. Chris Middleton, is it his team? I said that last fucking. I was joking, but that wasn't even, you know, there. You know what I mean? Like, ever before. So it's crazy.
I know that was a shot at my DeAndre Ayton misses and Chris Paul turnovers. That comparison, because that is the most that-y type fucking shit, but that is what there is to be excited
bro,
about.
I'm genuinely interested in that.
Me
stat,
too.
Though,
me Real too. Shit. I will watch that.
We are definitely going to check that shit at the end of the
Brittany,
series.
Brittany, we need a graphic. We need a running tally.
Fucking, bro, this series is turning us into fucking dorks, bro.
The NBA Finals are finally here, and FanDuel Sportsbook has a championship offer you don't want to miss, because during the finals, new users get 30-1 odds on either the Bucks or the Suns to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. I think the Bucks are going to bounce back in game two, so that would be my boosted pick. With FanDuel Sportsbook, there are more ways to win on FanDuel during the NBA Finals. And when you do win, getting your money is a layup. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with the promo code J. That's J and J with the ampersand to bet the NBA Finals with 30 to 1 odds. Once again, that's promo code J to unlock 30-1 odds on either team to win their next game exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, you must be 21 and over and present in Colorado, Indiana, or New Jersey. Must wager in the designated offer market. $10 first deposit required, $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700, 1-800-9-WITH-IT, or 1-800-GAMBLER. So, you're a sports fan. That's why you're listening. But if you're considering getting in on the fun of sports gambling, I want to let you know about a great resource, the Action Network. The Action Network is where fans go when they're ready to bet smarter and turn a profit betting on sports. In fact, their free Action Network app was recently named the best app in sports betting. With the Action app, you can see the latest picks and articles from Action Network gambling experts, as well as personalities like Colin Cowherd. You can compare odds from different sports books and track every bet you make so you always know how your picks are doing. So if the game means more to you, download the free Action Network app and start betting smarter. All right.
Crazy.
Game two Thursday night, game three on Sunday. We'll be talking about that next week when we're back on Monday. Now to talk about some non-basketball stuff. I'm really embarrassed to admit that this is the topic I was most excited to talk about today, not game one of the finals. But thank you to at Slick Sista on Twitter, who tweeted
Bread Lady.
And someone, Tyler retweeted someone saying, you could feel, it's one of those rare moments on Twitter where you could feel the record scratch on the whole day on Twitter, which she tweeted, had this argument in a group chat, but I want to know the truth. Isn't it very tacky for somebody to eat the free bread as soon as you get it? Yes or no? Currently, yes is at 3%, no is at 97%, and 368,000 people have voted in this poll. Tyler, you've been here for some record scratch moments on Twitter.com. Your analysis, please.
Bro, this is historic, and I say that with no hyperbole, no exaggeration. This person is the single most wrong person ever in the history of all Twitter arguments. A website whose whole foundation is built on arguments. I get in 6 or 7 arguments a day on there, right? There have been an infinite number of arguments that have taken place on that website. And this young lady is the single most wrong person ever in the history of Twitter arguments. We witnessed history, and I'm so glad we saw it real time. I was watching those fucking numbers go up like I was watching like fucking stock on my phone that I'm invested in. Shit. Like I was so invested in seeing how many people were going to disagree with this lady. And it seems like we got about 360,000 or so said, nah, you are wrong. I couldn't imagine being that wrong about anything with 300, where a whole fucking city tells me I'm wrong, bro.
She's coming up on Long Beach numbers. Numbers, for real. Like, I love the idea that the incorrect opinions about carbs could be the new crypto. I love that. Like, we need that. We need a ratio tracker for Twitter, for sure.
Does she have a fucking timer? Like, 5 minutes? Like, what are you? You're just sitting here looking at that warm brown bread.
She literally responded, you should wait 5 minutes before reaching for the bread. If you're that hungry, you should have had a pre-game meal.
A pre-meal? You should eat before you go eat? What
yeah, the, motherfucker, who, the bread is the pre-meal,
that's
motherfucker.
What like, the bread the is.
Where do these rules come from? People, like, life is already weird enough, and you add this? You know, you have to time before you even eat the fucking bread. That's so wild that to bullshit. Me.
look, manners are bullshit for the most part. Like, of course you want to step in and speak to motherfuckers. I'm with that type of manner shit. But when you go to a restaurant, you must fold the napkin and at a 90 degree angle and place it on the corner of the table. Like all that bullshit, bro. We do not need to live like that, dog. Fucking know. Life is hard enough, bro. Eat that motherfucking bread as soon as it hits the table, dog.
Right. A salad fork and a regular meal fork?
You're using
fork?
The wrong fork on your entree. Who gives a fuck?
You kidding me? Like, that's... Dude, I don't... Who decided this? Who wanted it? You know what I mean? But, like... But she leaned in. And I see everybody's tacky. After 360,000 people told her she was wrong? Like, no, the brain, how she's brave, you know what I'm saying? The courage it takes to lean
I love it. No,
to
no,
being
no.
that
I,
wrong
I love
is
it.
Incredible. That's special.
She tweeted like a notes apology today, but it was the opposite of an apology. She said, good morning.
I love it.
After witnessing the outpour of responses to my question and having the ability to sleep on it, I have gained a new perspective on why the backlash was received. People cannot help being tacky. It is generational. I know this her. Now. I never knew an opinion on waiting 5 minutes to eat bread would lead to people cussing me out, but what else to expect from tacky people? The essentials weren't taught. To my 3%, thank you for writing so hard against the tackiness. We understand that restaurants are for socializing. Fast food is for eating ASAP.
I like the fact that she didn't say classy, you know, classless. She said tacky. So that makes me know that she's fun. You know what I mean?
She's having
She's a Greek freak of being wrong, bro. She is the Giannis of being wrong, coming back with that fucking response, bro. That is beautiful, bro. That's art. That's you know what I'm saying? She's special, bro. Jesus. 350,000 people and you say that? I love it.
You know, there's people who say they like going to the movies for the trailers. Like, I am that person about restaurants and bread. Okay. Like, I don't have a sophisticated palate. I'm good with just eating fast food burgers and chicken for my entire life, except for my heart or whatever. But like, when you go to the restaurant, we eat at restaurants infrequently enough, especially during COVID, that I always forget a little bit about the bread. I'm just excited. What am I going to order? And we sit down and they bring us the bread. Happy birthday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no. Merry Christmas like to Christmas. Me. A little bowl of warm bread. And Shar and I will, like, we ate at that fancy steak place last week. They, you know, they're fancy. So they sat down a little bowl with two pieces of warm bread. Right, and right. I looked right at the motherfucking waiter and said, thank you so much. Bring us another one.
Please, double me down, baby. You know what I'm saying? Need all of that. You know, but Cheesecake Factory, one of the best things about Cheesecake to me, and I'm a regular dude, so whatever, is that fucking brown bread. And I Red Lobster, those fucking, whatever those fucking bread shits are called.
Cheddar biscuits, oh my
cheddar,
God.
Cheddar Bay biscuits, bro. Like, nigga, what? You want me to sit there and stare at them for 5 minutes, nigga? That is torture. That is torture. me not fighting the urge to grab a Cheddar Bay biscuit. Come on, man.
You're just like looking at your friends right. and like looking at the clock like it's a bro. Fucking high noon shoot off. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I prefer tacky. Tacky is much more fun.
If warm bread right. is tacky, I am tacky.
Right. You feel me? And I love it.
Bro, bread is like the oldest food item that humanity has ever created, right? Like bread was the first thing that humans made into a food. You know what I mean? So like humans are genetically dispositioned to love bread. Anyone who says that they don't love bread is a fucking lie. They might not like carbs because they want to keep their figure down or whatever, but every fucking human on the planet loves bread. And that's probably why she got her ass lit up, bro. You are going against something as natural as breathing to humans. We are wired to love bread, bro.
Bread tastes like being safe from saber-toothed tigers. Like, that is like historic ancient comfort.
I would ball bread up as a kid and fucking dance eating the bread, bro. Like that I'm living now because of bread, bro. That got me through some hard summers with no other snacks, bro. You ball up that wheat bread, you motherfucker. That shit tastes like fuck. Bro, fuck out of here. I need that. No anti-bread, no bread slander ever. You know what I mean? Fuck out of here. 5 minutes to eat some bread. Bread deserves better, nigga. You feel me? Jeez.
Okay. We also had an enjoyable time in the group chat with, I don't even know what it was originally from, but I don't feel the need to shout it out. There was an interview with Simone Biles' boyfriend where he was talking about when they started going out, he didn't know who she was. The biggest stack of bullshit or cap or whatever you want to say. Though. Yeah, Tyler, how little do we believe this human being?
I do not believe this motherfucker one bit. First of all, I wouldn't believe him if he said he was just in a bubble and didn't know who Simone Biles was, because Simone Biles is a fucking household name. If you are a fucking American human, you know who Simone Biles is, right? But then the fact that they met on Instagram, like, bro, like, this dude was like, wow, I'm gonna tell everyone I didn't know what this 4'8" woman with 10 million followers, I didn't know she was a gymnast. You lying motherfucker. Simone, keep an eye on this motherfucker. Don't get Kevin Federline, because I don't trust this lying ass motherfucker right here. Keep an eye on him. I'm keeping an eye on him for you, Simone. Fuck that. If you need us to ride, we gonna ride.
That's a lie you may say to her, maybe. You went on record and said that shit for everybody to see. You know what I mean? Bold ass fucking lie, bro. But if you don't know anything about the Olympics, if you know the Olympics is this, you know who Simone Biles is. It's impossible not to know who the fuck she is. You know, I mean, that's crazy. That he told an impossible lie and expected us to fucking believe it. That is a whopper of fucking lies right there.
He's ringing some serious alarm bells either way, if what he's saying is true, because either it's are 4'8" women your type, which
maybe. Let's not go there, Mike.
I'm just like, but or is it a reading comprehension issue? It literally says Simone Biles Olympian is what it says on her fucking, like, how did you even interact with her without seeing that shit?
He's lying, bro. He's out for that bag, man. Keep an eye on that motherfucker. I don't trust him.
That's a bag chaser lie about it. You know what I'm saying? Be like, yo. Yeah. I mean, if he was more like, yo, I got Simone Biles. You know what I mean? Like, you feel me? I'd be more confident with that nigga that I pulled a Simone Biles in a motherfucker. I didn't even know who she was, nigga. Bitch, we don't know who you are, nigga. that's the truth when she says it, not you, my nigga. She's Simone Biles, bro. Chill your ass out, bro. Come on now. Come on. I don't even got to know shit about gymnastics to know her name. You feel me? Come on, dog.
You don't know the name of any of her moves except the one that is named after her. But you know that she's Simone Biles.
Bro, come on.
Brittany is making the point via text that she is also in quite a few commercials. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, you don't really even need to know anything about the Olympics to know this is a famous person.
Dude, if you know the Olympics exists, you know Simone Biles. She's damn near the face of this shit. You know what I mean? In the U.S. at least, and probably other countries as cold as she is. She's wearing goats on her fucking leotard because she's the greatest to ever fucking do it while doing it. And you don't know who this motherfucker is?
Her boyfriend just thought she liked goats. Like, you know. Right.
What the fuck? Fucking no, bro. And he said that confidently. Like, I don't know who she and looking in the camera while being recorded.
Lied to our faces.
That bold, that nigga too bold, bro. You know what I'm saying? Bold very, face ass lie, nigga. Woo-wee.
Very bold. Okay. The next step in our ongoing national conversation about getting vaccinated, trying to fight the COVID-19 virus. Juvenile today dropped Vax That Thing Up. I know all three of us already have been vaccinated. So we're not a good test sample of whether this worked or not. But Tyler, can you come up with the theoretical person that would be persuaded by this song to get vaccinated?
You'd have to, for it to kind of really hit you like, wow, Juvenile and Manny and Mia X hopped on a check. You'd have to be like 40 plus. And like, you know, the whole shit was like, yo, get vaccinated, man, so you can get out here and, you know, party. And bro, ain't no fucking 40 plus year olds out here trying to party, nigga. Like, right? There's a few, I guess. Yeah, but motherfuckers is old and tired, dog. But you know, it was, I would say, as someone, you know, who grew up a Cash Money fan, a No Limit fan, and you know, there wasn't necessarily beef between those two ladies, but there was always like a tension there. It was cool to see, you know, Mia X hopping out there with those, you know, from No Limit hopping out there with those Cash Money dudes. I thought that was cool, but I mean, the heart's in the right place. Will it move the needle? I doubt it, but it was cool to see, I guess.
Juvenile's old enough to make Vax That Thing Up. Vax That Thing Up, bro. Nigga, nobody's safe. You remember how cool he was to us? We're all heading that way. We can't avoid it. It makes me sad for myself to know that nigga made this. You know what I mean? We all gonna be so lame. Let's enjoy this. Cause we probably ain't that far from it. Vax That Thing Up, nigga. What the, bro, nothing's safe. Nobody's safe. God, bro, that make me feel so old right now, dog. I'm sorry to be a bummer, but we all finna be lame as fuck, man. Like, let's just lean in if that nigga's gonna lean into something like that, bro. I didn't need that.
I do appreciate you vaccinating that thing up.
Yeah. At least we all vaxxed that thing up.
We all vaxxed that thing up, but we didn't make a song about it. We just said we're double vaccinated and move the fuck on. You feel me? Jeans, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like we out in these streets again. But Jesus Christ, vax that thing up. Okay. You playing that? You playing that? You playing that? You know what I'm saying? That's slapping. That's slapping to you, bro. You feel me? You riding in Long Beach playing vax that thing up, nigga.
Both windows on the minivan down.
Right. God damn.
Oh man. That's all the time we've got for today. As much as I wish we did have more time to talk about backs that thing up, that is all the time we've got for today. Our thanks as always to everyone for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday talking about game 2 and 3, Booger Boy of the Week, etc. etc. Everyone enjoy your weekend. Make sure you have that thing backed up.
Vax that thing up.
Vax that thing. Hey, up.
Do the windows, the back windows on the minivan go down too?
Yeah, man. What do you think this is? 1970?
Oh, so they don't have. Remember, we had to like pin. Kids will never. I'm really. I'm a lame ass. I'm a coach juvenile. That
happened,
quick.
It's happened
that quick. I became a lame ass nigga. Because remember, we had to pin the fucking shit to for the back windows to open up. Now they go down. That's special as hell, bro.
No, my parents didn't have minivans because they weren't lame. So you know what I mean.
Okay, my parents, we, my dad, no, my dad.
I mean, put, I myself, yeah, my kids. My parents dad pulled up
like, my dad pulled up like, huh, huh. And I was like, I will never be that nigga. I will never be him, bro. He was so happy about that minivan. The back shit went up and it was beeping and shit. He was so excited, nigga. I'm like, it got Dolby digital surrounds. I'm like, bitch, what the fuck? You don't get the fuck out my face, nigga. You had a Saab before this, a Saab 900. And you excited about this maroon fucking minivan, bitch ass nigga. It's maroon, fuck nigga. Man, fuck that shit, man. SUV shawty. SUV shawty, that's me, bro. Anyway, I guess the podcast is
over. Bye.
I got lame that quick.